Go wait and ask her a question. I didn't hear what you said.
She says she would cut your head off. Do you think it's a spur?
Oh, well, that's true. She does do that. Honey, what kind of hearing do I have?
Selective.
So this morning, how many of you have selective hearing? All you guys can raise your hands. So we're going to talk a little bit this morning about how well we hear, okay? So whether it's intentionally, which most of the time it is, or whether it's due to a lack of our understanding, the value of the truth of God's Word gets lost somewhere in those phrases. All right? So this is because we're not pursuing the way we should after the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So how does this happen? When does this happen in our life? I can tell you how most of it happens in our life is when we begin to study and to meditate upon the Word of God. And how many of you are like me? Oftentimes we start reading and I'll just skip over that part. I'll go to the next part. Nah, I don't like that one either, Lord. And we just begin to skip over those passages of Scripture that we don't particularly feel is important to us in our life. Now, anything that God takes us to in the Word of God, it's important to our life, whether we feel that it is or not. So we've got to come to remember that God is trying to show unto us, He's trying to show unto us through His Word that not everything that we feel that we're looking at in the Word of God, we feel it has something to do with the things that are right or wrong in my life. Well, really what God is trying to show us through His Word is He's trying to show us how to build a strong relationship with Him. All of the right and the wrong will come after that. We cannot comprehend what is right and what is wrong in our life if we do not have a strong relationship with God. So let's focus on that. When God is trying to show us how to build this strong relationship with Him, let's focus on that. So that means that every opportunity is an opportunity to enter into a conversation with God. Doesn't matter who you struck up the opportunity with. It's an opportunity for us to talk to God and to see what God has for us in our life. So it's through His Word, through the things that we learn through our conversation with Him, as we go to the Word of God, we begin not only to learn about the things that are going on in the world around us, but most importantly, we begin to learn about our relationship with God, and we begin to learn how God sees us in that relationship. Now, the way God sees you in His relationship and the way we see ourselves in our relationship with God is two different things, because we don't always see ourselves where God wants us to be. So God sees us in a place, in a relationship with Him, where we are always following after those things that He has in store for us in our life. So God's Word, here's what God's Word is going to do for us. It's going to reveal unto us the truth of our nature, the things that we are doing in our life, because God is the only one that knows our heart. Now, somebody else might say, oh, I see what you're doing and I know, but God is the only one that truly knows our heart. So God is the one that we listen to. So He knows our hearts, He knows our minds, He knows our thoughts, all of these things about us. So God is trying to reveal unto us, and He'll go at great lengths to do so. He's trying to reveal unto us His mercy and His grace for our life. And He wants us to begin to see that in our life, because this is how He draws us into this deeper, this greater relationship with Him. And He does this because He wants us to see what our eternal hope, what our eternal salvation is truly all about. So in the book of John, I'm going to go read this one scripture to you here. In the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, here's what He said. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, He said, If ye continue, not read it once in a while, not pick up your Bible once in a while, not study it once in a while, but He said, if you continue in My Word, then you're My disciples. Then you're truly following after Me. Then you're being obedient to what I have for you to do. And He said, when you begin to do this, then the next thing that He says, then shall you know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make you free. Now, why do a lot of times we not want to know the truth of God's Word? Because there's some things that I do in my life, and they're worldly things, and I find pleasure in them. I don't want to be set free from those things. God's trying to set me free. I'm trying to hold on to them. So He said, the only way that we're going to do this is by continuing in His Word, by our relationship with Him. The stronger my relationship gets with the Lord, the less I want to have that relationship with whatever it is that I'm finding pleasure in the world. This is why this relationship is so important. So that means that out in the world today, here's where we're at. There's many people that believe in Christ. They believed in Christ as their Savior. There's many people that have trusted Christ as their Redeemer. They've trusted Him unto salvation. There's many people that says, I have placed my faith in Christ. But there's also many that have not chosen to abide in the truth of His Word. So we have a lot of believers out there today, and this is why we're very adamant about trying to help one another grow in their relationship with God, is because there's many believers out there today, and they have not chosen yet to abide by the truth of God's Word, meaning that they pick and choose what they want to be obedient unto. So that means that for all of us that have done that at some point in time in our life, it makes it very easy for us to become entangled in all the different religions, all the different things that are going on out there in the world today that distort the truth of God's Word, but still try to get you to believe it. So it's okay. Look, just go back 10 years and look at some of the things that are going on around you that you would have never seen happen 10 years ago. This is because we have distorted the truth of God's Word, and we said now it's okay to do this. Well, it's not okay with the Lord. But we've come to that in our life. So this is a lack of wisdom. This is a lack of knowledge. This is a lack of understanding. But most importantly, it's a lack of our relationship with God. We have allowed things to hinder our relationship with God. So we have to lean upon the Holy Spirit that indwells within us, because that is going to give us the willingness to continue to learn. Do we want to learn the truth of God's Word? If you do not want to learn it, you are not going to learn it. And if you never learn it, you're never going to be obedient to it. So we have to have this willingness to learn. And we've got to learn, first of all, that it is through Christ. When you know Christ, you're going to know the truth. Okay? That's how you know the truth, because Christ is what? He is the truth. And He has given unto us this understanding so that we might not just know the truth, so that we might not just be obedient to the truth, but that we might proclaim that truth to those around us. And when I say proclaim it, I don't mean by word of mouth. We learned that in our Sunday school lesson this morning. Sometimes word of mouth doesn't mean anything. We have to proclaim it by our actions, by the things that we do in our life, so that other people might see that in our life. So in the book of Matthew chapter 13, we're going to go look at an example of this. The book of Matthew chapter 13, starting with verse 9, And what we want to learn is, what does it mean to truly hear the Word of God? Now, I'm not talking about just listening to it, because, and we've said this many times, Dad has started this. He told you, 10 minutes of what I say you might retain. The rest of it, you're not going to retain. So when you leave today, what part are you going to remember? Anybody? Nobody remember what I said so far. So okay, so let's start now. What part are you going to remember from now on? All right. So I'll give you at least 10 more minutes and see how much you remember. So in the book of Matthew, chapter 13, starting with verse 9. Here's what he says. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I could talk about ears to hear for an hour, but this is spiritually now, okay? This isn't talking about what you're hearing, your selective hearing. This is spiritually talking about hearing the Word of God. And he said, the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak in parables? Okay? Did anybody ever just... And he gives you the answer, but we're going to try to explain that a little bit. But why do you speak in parables? And said, he answered and said unto him, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not. Who is them? Them is the unbelievers, those who do not believe. So he said, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, but he shall have more abundantly, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. So here's what he says. Therefore, I speak to them in parables. And here's what he said. He says, because they see, seeing they see not, hearing they hear not, and neither do they understand. So we're going to talk about how well we portray this gospel of Jesus Christ. This gospel that we learn. This gospel that we've hidden within our hearts, David said. So there, many, many, many people portray Christ's interest, portray their interest in the gospel of Jesus Christ, but it is a false portrayal. And why is that? It is because we're not... We said this in Sunday school class this morning. We're not practicing what we preach. We're not portraying the things that God is trying to get us to learn or to understand. So it's because many, many people in the world today intend to deceive others with how much that they say that they know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but just about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So for this reason then, Christ said, I speak in parables. And here's what he means. He didn't mean he spoke because he didn't want mankind to understand and the truth and believe. But what he meant was, is he said, I do not want you to understand if you are going to take that understanding and use it deceitfully for your own sinful worldly lust and desires. That's what I am not going to allow to do. So you might see people prospering all around the world today, and you think they're prospering because of what they say is their understanding of the truth of God's Word. But I can tell you, the only thing that they're really prospering is their worldly wealth and fame, maybe. And one of these days, that'll all be gone. There will not be none of that one of these days. So God speaks to us, but when He speaks to us, He speaks to us through His Word. And His Word is what? It is a living Word. We have to understand it as a living Word. And this living Word is Christ, right? In the book of John chapter 1 verse 1 says what? In the beginning was what? It was the Word. And that Word, it was Christ. So this is how He speaks to us. And when He speaks, He expects us to what? Listen, to hear, to really understand what it is He's trying to say to us. So that means we have to get it through. We have to have a lot of faith, and we have to have a lot of trust in what He's telling us to do in our life. So in Romans chapter 10, I'm going to read these, but we should know them by heart. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Let's just jump there and read that one real quick. He says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing comes by what? Come on, that's right. The Word of God. That is how that we hear. So your justification, my justification, which is our salvation, it came through the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ, but we would not have gotten it if we had not been obedient to the Word of God, meaning obedient to Christ. So faith comes through obedience to the Word of God, and that faith is that eternal salvation that we now have within us. So we have received that message from Christ. We have received that. We know that He paid our sin debt. So, but in order to be able to have faith in that, then we must first be aware of what? The existence of it. You know, some believers don't have no idea what all exists in this Word. We can study every day and we have no idea what all exists in this Word of God. But we have to have some type of existence, and the one thing we do know for sure is it's Christ. We believe. That's how we're saved. We believe in Jesus Christ, in the name of Jesus Christ and what He has done for us on the cross. So this is the existence that we are talking about in our life. So now we've got people in the world today that are taking things that are evil and calling them good. And we believe it. Okay, we're regarding those things now as things that are good. Instead of stepping back and saying, no, I don't want to be a part of that because I know that it's contrary to the Word of God, we are taking part in that. And every time that mankind, any mankind, whether it's a believer or a non-believer, takes part in something like that, it hardens our heart towards the truth of God's Word. So now I have my opinion of what this means, and you're not going to change it. But God's trying to change it. God wants to give us an understanding because He doesn't want His Word to be furthered as part of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but doing it in unbelief. He wants it to be done truthfully. So if the only thing that God gives you in your heart is to be able to stand up and say, I believe in the saving grace of Jesus Christ, He saved my soul, then that's what you tell people. And if somebody says, don't you have anything else to say, just say, that's what I've got. That's what God's given me. That's what I'm giving to you. When God gives me more, I'll tell you more. Don't make stuff up. Too many people today are making stuff up. And the stuff that is being made up hinders our relationship with God. In John chapter 3, verse 18, here's what he says. Let's go read this. John 3, 18. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Meaning he that believeth on Christ is not condemned. But he that believeth not is what? He's already condemned. Okay? You talk to people all the time. Well, I haven't made my choice yet whether I want to go to heaven or hell. Oh, yes, you have. If you haven't made the choice to go to heaven, you've done made the choice to go to hell. See, you're already condemned. And he says, because he hath, and this is why. He said, it's because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Why does people not want to look and find the truth that is in God's Word is because God's Word warns us, gives us warnings, shows us things in our life that are not pleasing unto Him, and warns us of the consequences of rejecting our obedience to that in our life. Well, if I don't know it, then He can't hold me accountable for it. True or false? False. We're going to be held accountable for everything. I don't care whether you claim to know it or not. So God knew from the very beginning we were all going to be rebellious. He knew that. So from the very beginning, before man was ever created, before man ever separated himself from God, then God put a plan in place. And that plan was salvation because He wanted to make sure that even though we rebelled against Him, we still might be saved. if we make the choice to do so. So he wants to get us out of that self-righteous mode of unbelief. And he wants to forgive us. And he wants us to believe in his eternal life, in his saving grace that comes by his Son. So for those who do not believe, then the Bible says because of that rejection, then those people are in danger of eternal damnation, he says. Let's read that verse. Let's go to the book of Mark. The book of Mark, chapter 3, verse 29. Here's what it says. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, he hath never forgiveness, because in his sin he is in danger of eternal damnation. Rejecting the calling, the convicting power of the Holy Spirit without accepting the saving grace of Jesus Christ, the consequences of that is condemnation in hell. That's what that verse is talking about. So if we have not accepted, then we have already rejected. So back in the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, and this is going to go along with the scripture that I read in Matthew. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. Here's what Isaiah said. If you want to find out a little bit about your life, go back and read. Because, see, before Isaiah could ever speak to the children of Israel, he had to experience everything firsthand himself. That's us today. Before you're qualified to teach, to speak, to preach, and when I say qualified, I don't mean man's qualifications. I'm talking about God's qualifications. And before he will qualify you to do so, you're going to experience the things that you're going to talk about. So Isaiah said, I heard, Isaiah 6 verse 8, I don't know if I told you that. I heard the voice of the Lord saying... Okay, we hear the voice of the Lord all the time when we want to hear. If it's not selective hearing, Isaiah didn't have selective hearing here. He knew better. He said, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, because he had done experience what the consequences of the wrath of God was all about, Isaiah stepped up and said, here I am, Lord, send me. If you want to work for the Lord, you have to have a willing spirit, first of all, to work for the Lord. Okay? So Isaiah said, send me. And the Lord said, go and tell the people. Now see, when Jonah stepped up and said, Lord, send me, God said, okay, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah said, oh, wait a minute, I take that back. Don't send me anymore. I don't want to go. So sometimes when God says, go and tell the people, we change our mind. Oh Lord, I made a mistake. I really didn't want to go. That was a slip. I didn't really mean to say I'd go. But he said, go and tell the people, hear ye indeed, that you're hearing the words that are coming out of my mouth, but he said you're not understanding, and you're not understanding because you're trying to hear them from me. You don't listen to what I say, you listen to what God says through me. Anything that I say isn't worth writing down on a piece of paper. But he said, you're hearing me, but you should be listening to God because you're not understanding. So I know you're not hearing God because you're not understanding. And he said, you're not seeing, so that if you're not seeing, then you don't perceive what it is that God's trying to tell you. So how many of you have ever left the church and said, oh, that preacher, I didn't understand a word he said. That's because you was listening to the preacher and not to the Holy Spirit. Did I ever tell you that little joke about the mom and the boy? And the mom gave the boy to put money in the offering plate and he didn't put it in. And after church, the preacher met him going out the door. And he said, here, preacher, it's my last dollar my mom gave to me to buy candy after church, but I want you to have it. And the preacher said, well, son, why are you giving it to me? And he said, because I heard my mom say several times, you are the poorest preacher that I know. Oh my goodness. kids tell the truth, don't they? So You got to quit listening to the preacher, okay? The Sunday school teacher. You're not there. That's not why we're here. We're here to hear God, okay? So this is where a lot of times that we make our mistakes. So God gives us all of these warnings through His Word. And there's going to be people that they're going to hear the gospel and they're going to want more of it. They're excited. They're willing. So their heart is great with the Lord. But then there's going to be those who don't. They just don't want to hear it. Okay. So when this happens, then the heart becomes hardened. So we've probably got people sitting in churches all over the world today with a hardened heart because I'm going to go to church because this is what I'm supposed to do. I'll be there on Sunday morning. When I stand before God one of these days, I'll say, Lord, I was faithful. I went to church every day, and God's going to look down and say, but you didn't hear a word that I said while you were there because you weren't there to hear what I had to say. And that's one of the things, one of these days, because we live in this world that it's good to show a superficial interest in Christ, but don't ask me to be active in my salvation. That's why you have churches that have hundreds and thousands of people going to them, and the same three or four people do everything in the church. Yo, I go to that church. Man, what a crowd we have. Okay, come Sunday morning, how about you open it? Oh, don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to read. Don't ask me. Oh, see, I have a superficial relationship because this is what we're being taught in the world today. When we are like that, we're refusing to understand what God has to say for us. So God has to take action. He has to put us in a place where we'll understand. And for those that don't want to understand, then He's going to keep you from understanding, because He is not going to give you understanding to use of your own free will. His understanding is meant to be used to serve Him and to glorify Him. And that's what it's all about. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 29, here's what he says. Proverbs, chapter 29, verse 1. He that being often reproved... Now, what does the word reprove mean? It means chastised, reprimanded. So when we're often reproved or chastised, I'll get that word out in a minute, chastised, then it says hardeneth his neck or gets a stiff neck. Well, if God's going to chastise me all the time, I'm just not going to do it. Well, you just brought more upon yourself. You just brought more upon yourself. Let me point that out to you right now. But he said, he that is often chastised or reprimanded hardeneth his neck, but and shall suddenly be restored. And he says, there's no remedy to that. The choices that we make in our life are choices that are going to affect our eternal existence. And he said, if the choices that you're making continue to reject me, then there will be no remedy for that. Will become a part of that that is going to be destroyed or live eternally in the condemnation and wrath of hell. So what does Romans 6:23 say? Anybody want to tell me that verse? Now, I know you know it. I know when you get put on the spot, it's hard to quote a Bible verse. But Romans 6:23, I'm going to read it to you, just so we get it right. For the wages, does anybody want to finish it now? There you go. Now we can finish it. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life And it only comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christ Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father, what? But by me. If we're following a pathway of worldly sinfulness, it's going to be a pathway that can only lead to death and destruction. But if we're following the pathway of God's mercy and grace, then it's going to lead to eternal life. So here I'm going to, I found this quote a long time ago, and I ran across it again the other day. So I'm going to give it to you, and if you don't have time to write it down, that's okay, because I'll send out my email, it'll be on it. But listen to this quote and how true this quote is. It says, sin will always take you farther than you want to go. That's the first part. The second part, it will always keep you there longer than you need to stay or want to stay, and it will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. I'm going to read that one more time. Isn't that a good quote? Sin will always take you farther than you want to go. It will keep you there longer than you want to stay. And it will cost you more than you ever intended to pay. And how true that is, because sin, if we do not make the choice to fall under the plan of redemption that God has given and through us through Christ, sin will cost us everything, because it will cost us our eternal life with God. So the purpose of hearing is to what? It's to teach us the spiritual truth. To learn what the truth of God is all about. So, for those who are hungry, spiritually hungry, and have a willingness and a desire to grow and to spiritually mature in the Lord, then our interest in God's knowledge and the truth of His Word, it's great. We have the desire for that in our life. So, we're either going to come to the Lord in one of two ways. We're either going to come to Him with ears that are open to hear the truth of God's Word, or we're going to come and hear, but we're going to tune out the truth. So what did the preacher talk about Sunday? Well, he rambled on something about paying attention and being obedient and learning the truth. But I'm not real sure of the truth of what. But he rambled on something about that. And that's because you were just listening to the preacher. But now if you would have truly listened to God, you would have learned that we've got to be obedient to the truth of His Word. And we can only get that through Him. So I'm going to tell you this fact, and this fact is truth. The truth of God's Word one day is going to apply to everybody. Okay? Whether you want it to apply to you or not, it's going to apply. And we're going to suffer the consequences of how well we paid attention to the truth of His Word. So there's going to be no exception. None. When you stand before the Lord one of these days, there'll be no exception. And when this happens, He's going to say, you would have done well to have heard. And when I say hear, I mean you would have done well to have truly listened and believed and learned from it, and lots of ands in there, isn't there? And actively pursued after it. And for those who don't, our relationship with God's going to falter, and we'll suffer the consequences of that in our life. So let's learn to truly hear what the truth of God's Word is all about, and hear it from the only one that can give you the truth, and that's God Himself. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we come to You this morning, Lord, it's truly with thankful hearts that we cherish every opportunity that You've given to us, Lord, to be able to come out and to fellowship with You, Heavenly Father. Lord, we want our relationship with You to grow stronger. Lord, we want to be obedient to the truth of Your Word. And we just pray that You would help us, Lord, to actively and attentively listen unto You, Heavenly Father, so that we may always be found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto Thee. And we just pray this day, Lord, that as we begin to put aside all of those worldly things, Heavenly Father, that so doth easily beset us, the Lord, that we begin to take on those things, Heavenly Father, that You would show us in our life so that we may always be found doing the work, Heavenly Father, that You would have us to do. Help us, Lord, to continue to follow after the leadership and the guidance of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, to do those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto Thee. Forgive us, Lord, for we have sinned and fallen short of Your glory. Help us, Lord, not to forget to give You praise and honor and glory for all things. For in Jesus' name we pray, and amen. Okay, remember, Thursday evening Bible study, we'll be back here, right?
Yes, back here. We're in Revelation.
Revelation 2:4. And I believe it says, I have somewhat against you because you have left your first love. So we'll be touching on that a little bit. Anybody else this morning? If not, we'll stand and praise the Lord 3 times and let you go enjoy the beautiful day. Let me get to the door first, because my question is going to be, what did you get out of the sermon this morning? So I'm going to give you a minute to think about.
Everybody, give the kids a dollar bill.
You know what we're going to get? Well, at the end, we praise the Lord 3 times. Everybody ready? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
I'll go give him a dollar. I got a dollar.
You got a dollar?
I don't bring my wallet with
me. Inflation. I need more than a dollar. Oh, goodness.